And also, if anybody needs an x-ray, go hold your hand up to the lights in the new conference room lights. You might be able to see the bones in your hand. There's now roughly 180,000 lumens in that room. So that's a lot. I put them on and I kept blinding myself the other day. But I am working on a dimmer. Just have to run more wires. All right. Well, praise God. I'm going to start today. Today I'm going to kind of lay a foundation. There's not going to be anything on the overhead. Hope you brought your Bible or you trust it. I'm going to read you the right word. But I'm going to start on a message today, something God stirred in me, and I think I even mentioned a couple weeks ago, about the character of Christ. Too many Christians today are characters, but they don't have the character of Christ. They still are fleshly, they are still soulful Christians. And I don't mean soulful in that context is not good. It doesn't mean smooth, easy listening music. It means selfish. That is most Christians. What about me? What about me? As Joyce Meyer would say, what about me? What about me? What about me? It's not about you. And when the quicker we figure that out, the happier we will be. Everybody's trying to push for happiness, aren't you? We're all looking for something to make us happy. Some people think they're going to find it in fast cars. No. I'm going to find it in motorcycles. No. I'm going to find it in rock music. Can you turn me down just a bit, Justin? Some people think they're going to find it in sports. Nope. Not going to do it. I'm going to find it in making money. If money fulfilled that, would a billionaire or millionaire ever commit suicide? But yet they do it. Money doesn't make you happy. Things do not make you happy. Homes do not make you happy. People will not make you happy. People have a tendency to push you the other way. The only thing that will make you happy is finding your place in God. And finding your place in God means putting others first. That's a hard thing to do. Oh, well, I gotta get mine, Pastor. I gotta get mine. No, you don't. We are so selfish as a society today. The whole world is selfish. Well, then, so I can't stand up for what I believe? No, I didn't say you can't stand up for your rights. I didn't say you couldn't stand for what you believe. I'm saying you can't abuse what you've been given. Okay? So, we're going to start looking at some things. I'm going to start in Matthew today, but over the course of the message, I'm going to talk about some things that I think people need to hear, and maybe need to hear again, and maybe hear from a different light. I know sometimes I get more out of each message, even though I may have taught it 10 times. I don't know, honestly, how evangelists do it, because a lot of evangelists, what you don't know is they'll preach the same message 100 times a year. How do you do that? Well, they memorize it for starters. They can memorize it. Boom. They go in and they preach it. And they leave. But we get to bounce around. Well, it just sounds like we're going down the same road. Have you read your Bible? I'm preaching to you out of your Bible. I'm not preaching to you out of the first book of Satan. I'm trying to help people grasp who God is. And we can develop the character of Christ in us, but it requires us to be a part of it. See, that's the thing. Oh, God, change me, change me. Well, you don't want to do anything. And I'm not throwing, I'm not about to throw any stones here, but anybody, everybody, oh, God, help me lose a couple pounds. And you walk by the ding-dongs. Does that help you? You have a point. for a very small minute. But for your goal of losing weight, no. It helped your soul. And, you know, so when we're asking God to help us change, we need to realize I have to do things. You know, what would be foolish? Wouldn't it be foolish, if I were to say, you know what, I think I'm going to go out and I'm going to run one of those Mudman obstacle courses. Now, you need to know, I love obstacle courses. Loved them. But I'm going to go out and run it right now. Folks, I can't run to the back of the church without getting winded and have to, I don't want to do that again. And I can promise you, the last thing that my orthopedic surgeon told me was, you can bike all you want. I don't ever hear of you running. Because they took out most of the meniscus in my right knee. So when I jump or I do anything, I try to land on the left, which isn't good on it. But it hurts when I run. So if you see me running, you had better be running. Because I'm in pain and I'm running from something bigger than me. But we have got to discipline ourselves to develop the character of Christ. Christ had to develop certain characteristics as a human being growing up as a child. That's why he came as a child. Was to live this life, was to be immersed in the culture, to have the same mindsets that the people around him would have. It would be unfair for him to come and say, you know, I came straight from heaven and I did this. La-dee-stinking-da. But he didn't. He came as a baby. A baby living in poverty to a mother who was not wed to the husband yet. They weren't married yet. She was still betrothed. And to beat all that, the delivery room, the hotel room, and the nursery was a stable. So tell me, do you think Jesus knew something about poverty? So he had to come. He had to be tempted. He had to be tried in every way you and I could be tempted. He wanted to lash out. Trust me. When Peter denied him, don't you think that wrenched his heart? A lot of shows that I've watched over the years, I can't remember for sure if anywhere in the scripture it even mentions it, but a lot of the movies that I've seen about the betrayal, they always played it at Easter, is they'd bring Jesus through the courtyard, and the last time that he'd deny Christ, they made eye contact. And that is powerful. Whether or not it really happened, but do you not know what that did to both of them? And Jesus knew it was happening. And then one of his closest allies betrayed him with one of the most intimate symbols of a relationship, a kiss. They call it Judas kiss. And yet he soldiered on. He did what he had to do. Because it wasn't about him anymore. It was about us. And if we will develop that same character, folks, we can walk in the same victory. We can walk in the same power. You won't be worried about amassing a fortune. Everybody's worried about you know how many billionaires there are now? It is astronomical. I watched this chart that ran for the last, 30 years of billionaires in the world. Initially, it started out really tiny. And then by the time it got up into the 2000s, the list was like this. And it only listed the top 20. And they were showing what quarters. That's how close they were going. They were going in quarters and who was in ahead. And then, you know, Bill Gates got up there. And then Warren Buffett got up. Warren Buffett wasn't worth all this up until not too long ago. He had money, but he wasn't in that club, and neither was Elon Musk, and neither was Mark Zuckerberg. caught myself. None of them were there in the Billionaire Boys Club. But now they are. And we got a guy who's just flying off into space because he can. And yet, people are starving on the planet. People are homeless on the planet. Billions of dollars! Okay, so you sent Captain Kirk to space. Big whoop-de-doo. You didn't go into deep space. We don't have the character of Christ in this world. We're worried about amassing a fortune so that we can fall back on it. Do you know that I've told you before, you know, I've always played this little fantasy game. My boys, they do it, and I know it drives Tony nuts. What if I won the lottery? The Powerball, man, it's $350 million. That's a lot of money. Do you know what I could do even with the cash out, which would be like $100 million? Y'all have a concept of what $100 million is? Do you have a concept of what a billion is? That's the concept we don't have, and this is why I'm kind of on the soapbox I'm on. How did you put it the other day? What a billion... Is years. Yeah. It's years, not months, it's years. There's 999 million in 1 billion. I hope your mind just went, psst. That's a lot of money. And some of these guys have 100 times that. Oh, we're not satisfied. What legacy are you leaving? Well, I did this, I did this, I did this. Okay, great job. Great job. You built all this money, but you couldn't be faithful to your wife. Great job, but you live in the area around you is the most impoverished area around. Outstanding. But the problem is I see the church falling into the same stinking thing. God wants his people blessed, absolutely. He doesn't want his children begging for bread. But neither does he want them flaunting what they've got. Oh, I can't get rid of that. You most absolutely can. I heard Jerry Savelle say one time, I like Jerry. He got hold of the concept. It's called seed time and harvest. You plant a seed, give it some time, and there will be a harvest. All you farmers know that. Anybody who's got a garden knows that. In the spiritual world, it's the same thing. But he liked motorcycles. He was a hot rodder, if you didn't know. If you know anything you know about Jerry Savelle. He was a hot rodder before he got saved and even a little bit after. Built hot rods, drag raced, rode motorcycles. And he always liked Harleys. He'd get a Harley and God said, give it away. You know, when he learned to quit arguing with God first. He gave it away. He'd get two back. Now he's got two Harleys. God said, give one away. He'd get more back. He said, he got up to seven Harleys. He said, I just kept giving them away and they kept coming. Eventually, my wife said, you are not allowed to give any more motorcycles away. They just multiply. What if we could all live like that and understand that God brings the harvest? God brings the harvest that's growing in these fields naturally. It's God. It's his process that started. Well, it's science. Who do you think created science? It's a crazy thing. There are laws in science. They are firm laws. If they alter, they produce a different result. Right? I got two science teams. They're both shaking their heads, yes. See, I did pay attention a little. They never let me mix chemicals, though. Of course, I never took that course. I saw that periodic chart, and I said, no way am I memorizing that. So our character gets developed in trusting God. and disciplining ourselves. So many times we're focused on just how can I take care of me and my four and no more. You need to constantly be willing to God, what do I need to do? God may tell you to give somebody some money. Oh, but God, but that's a big but. Because if God tells you to give somebody $20, you better give them $20. Okay, I can handle $20. Yep. Yeah, when God tells you to give somebody $200, you're going to be able to do it. God told me to give somebody $1,000. You need to understand something. I made $12,000 a year. A stinking year. That was before taxes. You know what God did? God opened up the windows of heaven and poured out blessing into our lives. Opportunities began to flow our way. We walked right into things. My boys, I said something about wanting a four-wheeler, a different four-wheeler, four-wheel drive. Joshua, I remember him, said, why do you work? Don't worry about that, Dad. They just show up. You just end up with it. It's because I learned something. I learned that when you sow something, God will bring the desires. When you seek first the kingdom of God and His ways of righteousness, His kingdom, He will add all those things that you need and desire. He'll bring them to you. You don't have to try to figure out how you're going to get it. Well, I just want a house. God will bring you the house. It may not be your forever home. Everybody's, oh, I'm going to be here forever and ever and ever. You don't have to stay there forever and ever and ever and ever. But take advantage of what you got, fix it up, get a little money in it, and sell it. It may take you longer than you want. It took us 15 years. I never thought I could live on a lot about not much bigger than this building with a house and a garage. Never thought that was possible, but God did. And you know what? We learned so much through that. And had a beautiful home. But our character is what God was developing and changing. And when we quit trying to do things in our way, God brought us our dream. Not just a home, our dream. Well, yeah, Angel says a nightmare at first. And I will concur. But character is what God cares more and more about. He cares more about your character than you walking in blessing. And I've told you the other day when I was telling you about tithing. Yeah, you can tithe and not even be Christian. It's a principle. Just like science, it is a law that does not change. When you honor God, God will bless because it's a blessing that He spoke. That's in Malachi. And by the way, I had more people than I can count have told me, I can vouch for tithing. I can vouch for tithing. I don't know how it works. And you know what? I'm one of those guys, I don't care. Okay, and I used to, my mind operates mechanically. And if I can figure out how something worked mechanically, I can figure it out. Computers, there's a time, oh yeah, I kind of can understand it a little bit. But then things kept speeding up, and I'm like, okay, I don't get it. I don't get how we convert light to words. It's amazing. I don't care anymore as long as it works. So, our character is what God's trying to build. Because I would rather be known as a man of character than die and be called. He was such a character. And not in a good way. So, Matthew chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed means to be happy, to be envied. To be envied. Not for you to be envious, but for you to be envied. For people to look at you and say, man, look at that. Just look at that. Look at them. I want to be like them. Are we hearing the world say, I want to be like the Christians? Why should they? We have preachers divorcing left and right. And then lying about why they're divorcing. I'd rather the truth come out than to be perpetuating another lie. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Happy to be envied are those who know spiritually they are poor. If you already think that you know it all, you're arrogant. And God says He will withstand. He stands against the prideful. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Those who need, who know they need Christ. Who know that they need God. That Christ is leading them to God. You know, there's so many things about God people don't know because they don't want to push in to know them. Anybody who gets close enough to know me, they get to know me. You can ask Tim. I've told you before, you come here and I'm working, there's a good chance you're going to find me shirtless. Tim? And I was dripping with sweat, and I kid you not, you can go look, my back marks are still on the ductwork. Tim and I figured out how to do things that, well, I don't know. Might have needed a couple more men to do, but we did it. But you get to know me, you have to spend time with me. Oh, but I think I know Pastor. I hear how he talks. Da 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 da. I know his background's a Marine. Da 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 da. Yeah, and I think most Marines are jerks. Yeah, I just said that. A lot of them are. We're just flat out jerks. Why? Because we got this title. Never mind the fact that the Army has a job to do too. The Air Force has a job to do. The Navy has a job to do. Could the Marine Corps be eliminated? Yes and no. It could be eliminated, but I think they'd have to figure out how to bring it back. Because it takes a special breed. And I'm not kidding about that. Dave's like, yes, it does. There's got to be something. The elevator's stopping right here. Okay, up here's the penthouse. It's stopping right here. Just shy. You want to get to know me? You've got to spend time with me. You've got to work with me. These people got to know Jesus. You know why? Because they spent time with Him. They were with Him day in and day out. Now, he'd sneak off. They didn't have no idea where he was at, just he's in the mountain somewhere. I don't know. He might have been doing other things. He might have been ministering. Who knows? Only He knows. We can speculate. There are some things that I think, well, you know what? That actually checks. But they spent time. They knew Jesus. So that's why when he walked out of the town and the people didn't receive him, they actually ran him out of town. And the disciples turned around and said, you want us to call fire down like Elijah did? You want us to call fire down and destroy? He looked at him and said, you don't know what spirit you're of, people. Shake the dust off your feet and move on. We have believers today that's what they think. There are 7 billion people in this world. And I think only about 250 million of them claim to be Christian. It's actually like 7.6 or something crazy now. That is nuts. Why? One, we don't believe God because we don't know God. We look at a Bible and we say, well, I know God because I read it. Okay, yeah, you read it. Now, talk to Him. He will talk to you. He will speak to you in your heart. You may think, well, that's my voice. Your voice doesn't, your conscience doesn't know the things that God's going to tell you. My conscience didn't know to cut the stupid elm or ash tree down first. But the Spirit of God did. Which, by the way, I'm going to be used in another in a message in another church about disobeying God. The pastor asked me if he could use that. I said, absolutely, I do. I said, it's a perfect example. I disobeyed God. Tree fell on me, but God said, you've got to get up. And when I made the effort to get up, I was standing. I don't remember. I mean, I've still got quick reflexes for the most part. I just got clobbered by a tree. And I can understand why people have problems with PTSD. It was just, you know, have anybody besides me been hitting the head with a baseball bat? Okay, a couple. You know that feeling? You just say, okay, where am I? Or a pugil stick, actually. They do the same thing. That's the way I felt. But the Spirit of God said, you've got to get up. All I had to do was make the effort, and I was standing. And the tree was still bouncing. That's God. Why did I get up? Because one, I knew that that was the voice of God, not me. Two, I looked at it and I said, thank you, Lord. I disobeyed. It hurt me. But I'm not dead. I'm not paralyzed from the waist down. That's God. Okay? But you're not going to get to know that if you don't read the word and start pressing in. Well, I'm going to get in now. Didn't God call for genocide? Absolutely, he did. He did. I'm sorry, that's what we call it today. Go look in Exodus and all that. When they came through, they were to destroy all the Canaanites. Well, that just don't seem right. God had a plan, folks. You got to know God. He is a good father. But you need to understand what he stopped. He stopped child sacrifice. He stopped ritual raping. He stopped all of that. Do you get it? He stopped that, and then when Jesus died, he sent Jesus to hell to preach to them. He didn't leave them without an out. We have to trust God. I don't know what God holds for me tomorrow. I don't. I know what my plans are. I'm going to go get my birth certificate. Because evidently the state of Ohio BMV can't accept the one that the federal government did to get my enlistment papers. But hey, Morrow County is up above the federal government apparently. So I got to go get that so I can get on a stupid plane. But enough of that soapbox. So blessed are the poor in spirit. Recognize that you need a Savior. Recognize you need God in your life. Recognize that. Cry out to Him. Seek Him. Seek His face. By the way, when you seek His face, you automatically get His hand. You know, when my kids or my grandkids come up to me and they want to give me a hug, or my wife, they automatically get my hands. My hands go first. But all we want to see is God's hands, that open wallet. Get that out of your head. I'd rather see this than this any day. Because I know when I get this, I get that. I've got Him. Now, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. That's not talking about goths. That whole system of depression is so, for attention, it's not funny. Oh, there's nothing good in the world. We always fall back to Solomon when he said, all is vanity. Yes, of course he was depressed. He was married to 300 women. And I don't say that to be mean to women. But women, can you imagine having to share your husband with 299 other women? And you get to spend time with him once a year? Once. Now, men, I'm just telling you what is the truth. When a man had more than one wife, he had to have relations with that woman once a year. Any of you guys just did the math? Oh, that's great. No, that's not. He had 700 concubines. That is actually the epitome of arrogance. It was very prideful. He did that. God didn't tell him you need to take on 300 plus wives, 700 concubines. That's a 1,000 women. No wonder he was loopy. Plus, all those women brought their own faith. They weren't all Hebrew. They were captured women from other countries or women who tried to make peace treaties. And he took them in. So guess what happened? You've heard what we've talked about sex and what sex does. It attaches you to someone. Spiritually. So he began to adopt their spiritual beliefs. Well, this wife over here, she might worship something goofy. This one over here just might be in transcendental meditation. This one here, you know, might be into Baal. This one here might be, you know, self. So now he's got to try to please them all. And he went insane. Just because he thought he was doing what was right. I'm blessed. I can do anything I want. No, you can't. But blessed are those who mourn. It's not talking about, the world, the children. It's talking about, first off, being repentant in your heart of what you've done, how you've treated people. That's what it's calling. Another aspect of that, when you mourn, when you as a believer can see somebody going through something, somebody just lost a loved one, a close loved one, and your heart breaks for them, and you pray. See, I can't carry that load for people, but I can pray for them. And by praying for them, I can put it on the shoulders of Jesus, who can do something about it. When I go, when my parents go, I know where they're going. I know where I'm going. I know where she's going. I know where my children are going. This life is but a vapor. We were just talking about that this morning. It's like, man, I remember being 21. Am I really 51? My body says, oh, absolutely. Actually, you might be 101, some of the stupid stuff you've done. There's a keychain I see. I've thought about getting it from my boys. It says, don't do stupid stuff, and I modified that. Don't do stupid stuff. Love, Dad. It's not going to. Yeah, that nut didn't fall far from the tree. So blessed are those who mourn. We need to be sorrowful of our sin, not glorify what we were. That's the problem. When I'm telling you about what I was, I'm not glorifying in that at all. I'm only telling you so that you can relate it to your story. Otherwise, there's no reason to tell it. I have friends on Facebook that said, where were you 40 years ago? And one friend keeps, I was stoned. I was blitzed out of my mind on LSD. But thanks to Jesus who set me free. Okay? Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. When we think of meek, what do we think of? Weak. We think of weak. But that's not the definition of meek. Meek is a person who has the ability to destroy your life and yet doesn't when you've hurt them. I don't know what it is. I just love watching some of these videos where people get a little over cocky with things. And one of them I watched the other day was hilarious. And I don't think the guy was a Christian yet, but he is now. And that's Chuck Norris got his butt kicked. You don't see that every day because Chuck Norris in the video was a black belt. But the problem is he went up against the family that created judo. And I'm trying to think. You see old Chuck over here, he's jumping around, strutting, you know, getting his stuff on, and the other guy, he's just kind of whatever. And then Chuck goes in and whap, whap, whap. Chuck's on the bottom. The guy's got him around the head, and he's sitting on him. About a minute later, Chuck's tapping out. Chuck went in a little cocky. Do we do that with God? All the time. Or another one where the guy was getting into this kid's face. The kid did not want to fight. He got this, he had to have been on something. And if he wasn't, he deserved everything he got. Well, he still deserved it. There's sometimes people need a butt whooping. And he got in this kid's face. He kept getting in and he walked up and he headbutted a kid right here. Just bam. The kid kept stepping back, kept doing that. The kid came up, and he sucker punched him, pushed him, got in his face again. And then one time he came up. He might have said the magic words, or the other guy said, well, you've hit me 3 times. I've turned my cheek. We're done. There were 2 hits. He hit him, the guy hit the floor. That was it. That was the epitome of what meekness is. I'm not going to lie, you headbutt me in the face, or even slap me, I have to get my hammer and nails out. Forget the hammer. I have got to get the nail gun out and start crucifying myself real quick. Because my flesh is going to rise up. I have been insulted with words before. And it wasn't until I walked away that I realized they insulted me. I look back and I'm like, okay, God, I'm not dense. At least I don't think I am. And I'm pretty sure they just insulted me. And the more I thought about being insulted, I started getting angry. It was already done. So I had to start crucifying that flesh again in order to be able to keep moving. Now, you know, my lovely wife, she'll tell you, you slap me? You know, it wasn't done out of play, but it was her first time home. I mean, I'd already been gone for almost 3 years at this point, and so this was her first time back, and I was being a little ding-a-ling. I'm just honking on the horn, for her to open the garage door. She turned around and looked at me. Oh, by the way, there was another cyclic thing in play here. Men, you take your lives in your own hands. And anyhow, she just turned around, looked at me, let the door drop, walked back in the house. I'm like, seriously? So I had to get out, raise the door, get back in the car, pull it in, do all that, come back, and I went back in the house. And I said, what was that? And all of a sudden, she looked at me. She was only 20. We've both grown. I mean, I would say I've grown, but I haven't necessarily matured. I would still do stupid stuff like that. But it was the fact that she said, I saw a look come across your face. Now, I didn't strike her. I got a lot more discipline than that. But it was just the fact that she said, I'll never do it again. Now, I was still, in my opinion, a baby Christian. I mean, I knew all about God from being grown up, but I hadn't really given my life to him except the year before. And actually, at that point, it might have been months. And prior to that, I was taught, they hit you, kill them. So, you know, that was my options. But meekness is having that ability and not doing anything. And by the way, I'm not saying I was meek. I was very arrogant. Okay. I didn't think about her at all in that situation, being emotional. See, most of the time we think we're being good, we're actually being arrogant and selfish. We don't think about what it's doing to somebody else. That's why marriage takes commitment. And it does take a little bit of give and take. I remember I married a young couple, and they would have some issues, which you find me a young couple, honestly, who doesn't have issues, will find you somebody is dominating. And anyhow, and trust me, it's a lot easier with both of you pulling the harness than it is just one of you. But anyhow, you know, I'd said something about sometimes we're sandpaper for somebody else. We don't mean to be, but we just are. And the wife went up to the husband and said, "That's what I am. I'm sandpaper for you." He said, "You know, a master carpenter knows when to lift the sandpaper up and see where the work is. You got to stop and look. Otherwise, you can go too far and you'll have a divot in your wood." Anyhow, so meekness doesn't mean you're weak or incapable, and it doesn't mean you just let people run over you. There is a limit, but we haven't even got to some of the other things yet, so let's keep moving. "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." You need to hunger and thirst for the things of God. Don't worry about what you're going to eat tomorrow. Don't worry. Well, you know, the federal government says they're going to do this, 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 and this. Trust God. If God can make bread to show up every morning fresh on the ground, well, I won't eat anything off the ground. Why not? 5-second rule, man. Oh, by the way, Mythbusters proved that to be a myth. There's no more germs on it than... And they also found out that there's actually more germs on your countertop than there is on your toilet bowl. Yummy. I don't know who had to find that one out, but but anyhow, don't worry about it. He sent quail in flying at knee high. Quail don't fly like that. They go woof. They're like rockets. They just took a stick, bonk. They had their meat. He provided water. Their shoes didn't wear out. Did you ever have a good pair of shoes and, oh man, they're wore out, they're broke down. 40 years, nothing ever happened. Oh, by the way, they were there for their own stupidity. And that's the goodness of God, of people who were rebellious and hard-necked, not people who were obedient and trusting Him. "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." I'm oftentimes reminded of being merciful when, you know, dude, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to pull out in front of you. Richard, I didn't mean to pull out in front of you, man. He drives a semi, just so you know. And think about it next time you want to pull out in front of one. It's not a good idea. I watch those videos, people do that, and they got those dash cams. Usually you see, but the guy's locked up all 18 wheels trying to stop. Be merciful. You want mercy when you stand before God. "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Make sure what you're doing is for pure reasons, not selfish reasons. Well, I'm going to get to know them because, you know, they're a wealthy family. You know, if I get to know them, they might just give me some money. No, ain't happening. Ain't how it works. By the way, you know what I usually find out? God requires the seed from people who think they can't afford it. The widow with Elijah, or Elisha. Well, it was Elijah. Elijah. Sometimes they run together. They could have changed the name. It would have been a little easier for me. He went and said, "You got any food?" She said, "Well, we've got enough meal and oil here to make a bread for me and my son, and we're going to die." "Okay, yeah, and two sticks to start the fire." "All right, make me a cake first, and then feed yourself." How dare he? Doesn't he know what that woman has? Doesn't he know she's going to die? Because she said she's going to die. Doesn't she know there's a time of famine? How dare he ask for the seed? Understand this, that by her obedience, God blessed what was in the pot. And she did not run out of oil or meal and never had to purchase it. The whole famine, God took care of her. And yet we're worried. You know, next time you're at the gas pump, don't complain that it's $3.25. It wasn't that long ago, it was there too. I looked the other day, I bragged on Facebook, I paid $3.12 for gas today. It was a miracle. But you know what I did do? And by, it wasn't a bad brag, I was just, hey, gas is coming down. I thanked God that I could put gas in my vehicle. And I didn't exactly have the most fuel-efficient vehicle on the planet. I think at that time it might have been a Ford Expedition with a 5.4. No exhaust. Bah! You know, I fit right in Morrow County. Actually, I fit in a lot of places that aren't as rural. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Try to keep the peace in things. You're not going to be able to fix everything. You're not going to be able to stop every fight. But do what you can do. Okay? When you do what is in your power to stop, he said, you shall be called the sons of God. I'd rather be called the son of God than somebody who stood up for what was his. Somebody who got what was his. Something more appealing to be about being called a son of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, for righteousness, not for unrighteousness. This is why I say we have people who like to be characters in the church. They're characters because they're despicable human beings. They treat people bad out in public. You know, Tim was telling me one time that, you know, in 08, when he got laid off from his job, that he took a little side job. And share? Okay. But it was delivering the bag and I think the phone books, right? Okay. And it was the phone book incident. Now, you all know, you see them. Huh, what's in my driveway? Oh, it's a phone book. We don't hardly use them anymore, but they're there. But this one particular person, I remember telling Tim, I said, we were talking about it, and I said, yeah, this guy, he does this, and I said, and he's a Christian. He said, no, wait a minute. He starts telling me where he lived and all that stuff. I said, yeah, you know him. He said, well, he says, I wouldn't believe he was a Christian until you told me. Because of the way he acted. Because he didn't get enough phone books. Nobody's using it anyhow, brother. Unless you're using it to start your fire. Why stoop to a level? Well, I requested this many. I don't give a flying flat bottom girl. Yeah. I don't give a rip. I don't give a rip what you think you deserve. Lord, help me to come back from this. I got two more scriptures. You know what's going to be on the radio when you turn on your car, right? It's out there for all eternity. I'm glad you're laughing and not throwing stones. Because our character means more than our rights. When I was in Kiev, we were on our way back. We're driving around. We had a full day to get settled in until we could catch our flight the next day. So we're in Kiev, and our guide, she's taking Pastor Bob and I around, and man, this Toyota SUV just giving us the bird for, it's universal, just so you know. Down as we were number one, they went by us, and they had a fish with a cross on the back of the vehicle. What kind of character is that again? A character. You're pretending. Yeah, you're going to get a little mad. And honestly, she wasn't driving any crazier than anybody else. And she had to be told by Pastor Bob, because she worked for him, said, you either straighten up your driving or you're not driving. And I'm not kidding. I had to come back and get a massage. It needed to go to the chiropractor because the pastor we were riding with was nuts. Solid lines mean nothing on passing. Oh, by the way, neither does proper road construction. We were airborne once. And that's when I hit the ceiling in the car and came back down. I'm like, oh, this is not good. They are crazy. It is crazy. So remember, your character means so much more. Blessed are you when you're persecuted because you did what was right, not because, well, you know what? I saw you out in public. Now, I'll tell you right now, I will run 60 miles an hour where the road is open. Okay? I've told you. So if I pass you on 95, that means you're going under 60 miles an hour. And I discovered the other day that my speedometer is actually off 1 mile an hour. So if I'm running 53, it means I'm running 52. And if I'm behind you and I'm running 52, you are not even doing a speed limit. So I'm passing you. I want to get to where I want to go. Don't come back. And I say this just because I have this tendency for some stupid reason. I like to be stealthy, but yet for my vehicles, I don't know what happens. I got to put big stupid stickers on them that say Marine Corps crap or the exhaust is so loud that, well, you ain't forgetting that. I could read the guy's words one day coming up the hill over here in town by the cemetery. Really? It was with the expedition. You know, I'll admit it was a little loud. Wasn't as loud as my motorcycle, but see what I'm saying? So you're going to see me. You're going to hear, oh, that guy running around in that red truck with his Semper Fi on the back. Oh, he's just a maniac. He's running 60 miles an hour. He sets the cruise control. I love the cruise control. I can do two things at once, by the way. All right, let's carry on. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. If you're doing good and they go out and they tell lies, you're blessed. I've had it. Person had to come and repent to me. They didn't tell me what they said, but they said, I want to sleep. I have not slept since I started lying about you. And she was there to witness. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. We're to rejoice. Is it fun at the time? Absolutely not. I would be lying to you if I say, oh yes, I just treasure the times when people go out and tell lies. And generally, you know what a lie is? Just your side of the story. There's always two sides of that story, and sometimes three. You know what I think Christians need to do? Watch a few more movies and cartoons. Start with Hoodwinked. You can't lock people up just because they're different. Oh, by the way, there's always another point of view. There's his point of view, her point of view, his point of view, her point of view, his point of view, her point of view. They all got a little different something. You saw one thing. What you thought you saw may not have been exactly what you thought what you saw. So be careful what you go out and start telling people. And I have to keep that in mind. Because our character is worth so much more. Because if we start going around and we start telling, well, you know what? I saw Richard? He was driving that truck. He was just driving down the truck. I don't know how many times he told me that. What was it, 105? He was in Marion 105 times this week, this month. That's a lot of driving on 90. He said, I got to where I could tell who was coming, what time of the day it was, because they're going or two coming from work. He got to, and I periodically remembered which truck is his, because there was one day I was there three times. I'm like, seriously, I don't want to go to Marion again. I don't, but if I want to get anything done tomorrow, I have to go tonight. That was the third time, and I can't imagine doing it 105 over the course of the work days. But you see, you can't always judge what happened. Well, they looked right at me and ignored me. I saw a guy the other day. I know him. We looked each other right in the eyes. Boom! And, you know, I told somebody the other day, I need to quit getting hit in the head by things, particularly ball bats, crowbars, cranes and trees. But I said, I looked at him, I said, I know his face. My mind's, you know, great computer up here. But it's like, okay, gotta get a name. Well, he walked by me. He didn't say anything to me either. He looked right at me. And I said, Tom! Oh, hey! And we both had the same thing happen. We recognized the face, but the computer was a little slow and throwing a name to it, so we're just like, oh, we'll just keep on going. And but I wasn't going to do that. You don't know. I've looked right at people that I've known for a long time because I was somewhere else mentally right then. I was thinking about something that had to be done that I either was looking forward to or not looking forward to, and usually it's the latter. So just remember, give people the grace and the mercy that you'd like. All right, we're going to stop there. Like I said, that's a base. That is the base. We're going to talk. We're going to hit on some more things. We're going to try to go in more in depth on some of this stuff. And no, I won't have to necessarily keep you for the whole time. But you know what? As the days get shorter, and by shorter, I mean I believe the return of Christ is very close. We need to concentrate more on being a holy people, being that bride without spot nor blemish, than we do on, well, you know, I got this, this, and this. You know what? If this, this, and this are taking precedence over you ironing out your wedding dress or your wedding gown, we'll call it. We'll just stick with gown. It helps my mental imagery. Still grasping at the whole bride thing. If we focus on the wrong things at this time, there were five wise virgins, five foolish. The wise took the time to prepare. The foolish did not. And the door was closed. By the way, I want you to show that's a 50%. So, all right, let's stand. Remember, go vote. Next week, turn your clocks, fall back. Remember, God loves you. Remember that you're loved. I love you. All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we are grateful. We are grateful to be called your children. Father, we are grateful to be in your service. Lord, I know we all desire to be the character of Christ and not to be characters of Christ. Father, I thank you that we're moving on, that we're growing. Father, that we're treating people with the dignity, the respect, the mercy, and the grace that they deserve. And Father, even when they don't deserve it. So Father, I pray that you help each of us to grow in that confidence in you, Father, to trust you. And now, Lord, I bless these people today. Father, I thank you for them. First off, Lord, I curse sickness and disease right now in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, those who are out with sickness right now, Lord, I speak life and health over their bodies, peace to their minds in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you that the Peters and the Haycocks are having a great time, Lord, and that your hand will be upon them as even this week as they come back. And now, Father, bless these people. Bless those who have been watching online. Bless those here. Lord, I pray right now that you open opportunities for them, Father. Father, for them to show people your love. Move in their lives in Jesus' name. Amen.